specifically like to thank David Kalani, who without him we wouldn't be on the air. Thank you very much. Welcome his father. So this week's topic, I already got quite a few comments about the neighborhood when we entitled it The Erev on the Other Side of the Canal. So those listening here in South Florida, specifically North Miami Beach, everyone conjures up images. We all know our beautiful canal. I'll talk more about its beauty later. But so the Erev on the other side of the canal. But really, I'm not just talking about something people can relate to in here in South Florida. The topic of today's share hopefully will be something which have relevance in any city, in any place where Jews want to set up an Erev. The topic of today's share, Be'ez Hashem will address it. Now you think about it, an Erev is a very, very essential part of a community. And, you know, I'm a Brooklynite. I grew up in Flatbush.
No Erev.
And as many know, Rav Moshe Feinstein did not hold that Brooklyn could have an Erev. And that makes some degree of difficulty, you know, in the modern day world. You know, really, if you go back 100 years, the concept of Erevin, especially in Europe, was even more important than today. You know, people dealing with so many things which were communal, whether it was water, fire, heating things up. There was the need for an Erev wasn't just for a woman to push a stroller on Shabbos. It was, right, to get your hot food, to get water, for bare necessities that people needed for Shabbos, you needed to be able to utilize an Erev. And therefore, throughout the ages, you know, Rabbanim looked to try to establish Erevin to help their communities. But again, even in our world today, yes, the ability to get together, push baby carriages, connect people, connect families, an Erev definitely is a very essential thing. And, you know, talk particularly in this neighborhood, in North Miami Beach, which Baruch Hashem, the community is grown by leaps and bounds, and you can't find housing. And one of the ideas people have had is to branch off to the other side of the canal. So the first question people ask is about the Erev. Is there an Erev on the other side of the canal? Other side of the canal officially is a community called Sky Lake, where there is an Erev, but just as recent as this week, preparations already have begun to upgrade the Erev and to make things, you know, closer between both sides of the town, North Miami Beach, and the other side of the canal, Sky Lake. And hopefully with this, more and more people will be able to move and find housing. They already started a minyan just over the bridge. Yeshiva Madregas Adam has a minyan, I believe, for Mincha and Ma'ariv. They have. So Baruch Hashem, you know, the community is growing and the Erev is an important part. What gets tricky is between North Miami Beach and Sky Lake is this big canal. How does a canal play a role in the Erev? Can you make an Erev where in the middle of a canal, middle of the Erev, is a big body of water? Is that any problem with an Erev? Miami Beach, you have water, you have area. Really, everywhere in South Florida. I was in Boca the other day. You drive around every little spot, they decided, you know, there's one place, you're driving there, you see, like, you know, these water fountains in the middle of like a lake, one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, Like everywhere you turn, there's like a little lake with water spurting out. Like, does that affect Erevin? What about marshland?
Golf courses.
Cemeteries. All these types of areas we'll see soon could potentially be very problematic in making Erevin. So, first thing I'd like to do is go through some basics of halachas of Erev. Everyone knows the concept of Erev, but not necessarily the nitty-gritty, as we'll see in a minute. Now, firstly, my biggest raya anywhere that people do not know enough about Erevin is you go to any shul, you try to take a Mishnah Berurah off the shelf. Most volumes of Mishnah Berurah are well used. Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Tefila, Brachos, Chelek Beis, personal Brachos, Chelek Gimel Shabbos, Chelek Hay, Pesach and Yontif, Chelek Vav, all the other Yom Tovim. Those volumes are quite well used. Then you take a Chelek Dalet. Small little Chelek.
It's brand new.
Brand new, break the binding. Not so well used. And there's good reason for it. The halachas of Erevin are very complicated, quite hard, and it's the type of thing that is really relied upon the experts, the people that are well versed in it. That's the thing. I would be remiss if I didn't tell over a famous story. When they were debating the Erev Shaila in Brooklyn, I might have told this before. So Moshe Feinstein issued this psak that he invalidated the idea of having an Erev in Brooklyn, as we'll get to in a moment. So there was a group of Rabbanim that were meeting, and they're post that psak, were trying to figure out what to do. Obviously, there's a lot of communal pressure that people wanted an Erev. The story's going back 50 years ago, plus. So one rabbi got up at the meeting and made the following declaration. Look, Rabbi Feinstein's entitled to his opinion. But we are rabbis too. And we'll make our opinion. Well, there was a rav there at the meeting who understood who Moshe was. I guess he also understood who his adversary or member of the committee was too. So he turned to this rabbi. He's like, you're arguing with Moshe Feinstein? He says, let me ask you this. Do you know how many prakim there are in Maseches Erevin? The person didn't know the answer. He proceeded to sit down. Maseches Erevin, Hilchos Erevin, are things which, yeah, everyone should know how many prakim there are in Maseches Erevin. But, to really be an expert is not simple. I actually just past week, my cousin is considered one of the experts in Erevin in America. He was actually brought down here to look at the Erevin on the other side of the canal and work to upgrade and different things. There aren't so many people like that. And, it's important to know, let's start with the basic halachas. So, the Gabi Hilchos Shabbos, which is very, very important, any carrying, which is Ram Shos Yachid, for Amos, right? All these things, you have to know in Hilchos Shabbos what the area is. So, for simplicity's sake, we're going to focus today on three areas. Okay, there's also an area of Makom Patorah, but that one I'm not going to focus on. Three areas are, you have a Rishus HaRabim, public domain, Rishus HaYachid, private domain, and there's an idea called a Carmelis. Doesn't just mean a vineyard. Now, a Rishus HaRabim, the most basic definition, is being the fact in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, that's where we look for times of Mishkan, that's where we look for our malachos, So there were 600,000 people, the Jews, passing through the Midbar, involved with the setup of the Mishkan. So that's considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. 600,000 people passing by on a daily basis.
That's men, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's what we consider. The women were inside the house. So 600,000 people traveling through. Now, in our metropolises, yeah, you could have 600,000. Nowadays, they do make calculations. They do have these things. And it does make for potential issues in big cities. In the big cities in Europe, Frankfurt, and this, you know, they weren't so quick to put up Erevin over there. Because if something is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, you can't have an Erev. There's no way of fixing that. And that's where Brooklyn, one of the issues in Brooklyn is that was deemed a metropolis, a very big city, and can't have an Erev over there. That's so simple. Right? Now, we could hawk about this part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah.
Clarification.
But that's not what we want to do today. But yes.
Just when you're saying 600,000, are you meaning 600,000 going, traveling on the road itself, or are you talking about 600,000 people moving through the area that you would want to put?
Yeah. I think it's moving through the area, but they judge it, you know, Queens Boulevard, Ocean Parkway, different spots. Yeah. But that's just the thoroughfare to see, you know, how many people are there.
Queens Boulevard closing.
Right. Now, there's also Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which obviously if you have your own backyard, your own house, everything is enclosed, that's okay. Then you have an idea of a Carmelis. What is a Carmelis? So I saw the best definition of a Carmelis is a Din D'Rabbanan, that any area which I guess the way I'll put it, is not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, automatically is a Carmelis. Carmelis is an area that we treat it practically as it's not yet a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but it could be fixed. In a Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, you could string your poles wherever you want, ain't gonna help. Rosh Hashanah Rabbah is unfixable. You can't make an Erev there. The concept of an Erev really is, it's to transform an area which is sort of in between. It's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, it's not exactly a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but I'm transform this area in between into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Well, how am I making North Miami Beach into one big Rosh Hashanah Yachid? I put up doors, I put up tikkunim, different ideas to fix and make this area, this community, one big Rosh Hashanah Yachid. That's the idea behind an Erev. Obviously, it's not so simple. I'm going to try to enclose this entire area so it should have the same type of din as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If it's a public domain, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, just the amount of people going through, again, you can have your poles up from today till tomorrow, that won't help. There's too many people passing through. But where there isn't 600,000 people passing through, but it's not your backyard, that's a Carmelis. But if you put up Erevin, if you go through all the halachas of Erevin, and you're able to map out the area where there's different forms, either it's Pesach, Lechi, it's all different Erevin fixes, which we're not going to go into the particulars of that today. So then that what that does, it transforms your Carmelis into a pseudo Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And thus you'll be able to carry there.
Is a walled city, as long as it's got a small enough population, inherently an Erev city, or is that
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Or but is it still subject to
there aren't right, there aren't really walled cities today.
I was saying not
but
today.
Yeah. That definitely could fix. Now, so that's the good basic idea of how we set up Erevin. We want to transform our areas, which are not full Rosh Hashanah Rabbahs, something less than that, into a communal private domain. In general, Erevin work well. But here, I would like to introduce, and this is where the bodies of water, the canals, and the like, give us trouble, is there's an idea called a karfif. If you look, karfif is an area which at first it needs, it has to be a certain breadth. The Shulchan Aruch, for example, on the middle of your page, Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim Simon Shin Men Vav, karfif. A place that is makom shemukov mechitzos. You can have a place which around it are mechitzos. Around it are walls or halachic walls. But this karfif area is yosim beis hasayim, is more than practically 93 by 186 feet. Significant area, but you know, not that big. Shalom hukaf ladira. It wasn't surrounded for people living there, for people dwelling there. So, asru chachamim metaltabo. Chachamim asked people to carry there. So even though this is within, quote unquote, your erev, if you have this karfuf, which we'll define in a minute, it's a big area, 93 by 186 feet, practically. So that is also to carry there. Why? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, parallel to it, the Mishnah Berurah there, Sifkat Yud Zayin. So he talks about, he says, Va'avta min haTorah u'rishis yachol chol davar. Since this is enclosed by walls, so midiraisa, this would have a din of a rishus yachid, a private domain. Kibujesh mechitzos. Therefore, v'arzok mitochel rishus rabim chayim rishus yachid and karmelis. Also lohotzi. Kol makom kanatiru shimnesru ze yaspu shu rishus yachid gamer. People, we don't want people to think this is the full din of a rishus yachid. The ain shame karmelis alav klal. V'yol tata b'kulo kishar rishus yachid. People are going to think you could carry in this karmelis, in this karfuf, excuse me. We toch ze yivu shara nosh matatul gamber shusarabin. If we allow people to carry in this area, then you know what? People are going to start carrying or shusarabin. Ki doma ze ksas or shusarabin. This is comparable to a public domain. Kivan shu gado vlo hukaf dira. Because it's big. And it wasn't surrounded for dwelling. So let me explain. A karfuf, let's think I have a big erev. In the middle of the erev, I have a swamp, a little swamp land. What's doing in the swamp land? Nothing. Swamp, maybe kids will go play there, you know, to catch frogs. But there's nothing really doing there. Right? In my Brooklyn idea, you know, there's, you go on the other side of Marine Park, right? There's like other side of the street. There's like marshes over there. I remember when I was a kid, high grass. Yeah, some will call our canal, you know, I heard mumbling on the breath. You wouldn't call it a canal, you call it, you know, a swamp. Swamp creatures. So let's say you have this swamp in the middle of an Erev. Here's the big issue. You have this swamp in the middle of an Erev, the way Chazal look at it, the Chavetz Chaim explains. People not living there. No one's building a house in that swamp. No one's living there. Plus, it's a big area. And yet, you're going to tell me because there's mechitzas around it, you can carry it? Oh, that's a problem, the rabbis say. People are going to come to carry it. It's just a robin. In a public domain. They'll come to carry in the streets. So therefore, Chazal asserted it. A karfuf, this area, uninhibited area, in the middle of an erev, is bad. You cannot carry them. Okay? So if we stopped right here and say, Rabbi, okay, I hear the issue. You're going to tell me these canals, these ponds, these swamps, maybe cemeteries in the middle of an Erev is going to be a problem. People don't live there. Nothing's doing there.
Agricultural field.
Yeah, a big, right?
Yeah.
A big farmland, potentially. These areas in the middle of an Erev will create problems. Now, you know, we're for sure, once you go, quote unquote, out of town, for sure, once you go out of town, so you definitely have areas like this. Sure, even in upstate Muncie. But even in cities, there sometimes is dead areas. Yeah? We can talk about golf courses. But there's dead areas, dead spots in communities. So that would be bad. You wouldn't, even though if there's an Erev in the community, you cannot carry around that spot, in that spot. Now, if I just stop there, okay, I'll call a halbatzar. Half a problem. So you have to know, you can't go to these spots, can't carry, you know, in the canal on Shabbos.
Over the bridge, you're technically in the canal.
Right, so over the bridge might be better. We'll talk about bridges. But here's the second problem. I feel bad, I didn't put this Mishaburo on the sheets. But there's a Mishaburo on Shin Nun Ches, Sivkotan Ayin Beis. Mishabru over there writes the following. And this is a pretty basic concept. The Gemara talks about this in Erevin, that he's talking here about a karfuf, about these areas in the middle of an Erev. He says, also the Talta Bakulo, you can't carry anywhere. Da Mir Osro, this little miut, this minority area of your swamp, messes up the entire Erev. Kimish Yish, but Yosem Beis Asayim, in a Nitabalo Hekifadira. It's a big area, so it's not going to be permitted unless it was surrounded for dwelling. And you have this big vegetation, you have this uninhibited land. It's mevatel mechitz of dira, v'rova hakif gamke neser, neshe psuach uparitz zroim shumakom aser. If you have an erev, which opens up in the middle of the erev, there's an area which would be aser for someone to carry. It's not just the area of the karfuf which is aser. The entire Erev is now Aser. That's a big problem. That means if an Erev was drawn, Erev was set up in a community, not taking into account these dead spots in an Erev, that could literally parcel the entire community Erev. And I saw, post can bring down, this has found to be true. These are mistakes that happen. People don't necessarily take into account every square inch of the area where they're running an Erev. They don't necessarily see this karfufs, and that potentially could possible the entire Erev. You know, I was sitting with my cousin, Rabbi Francis, you know, when he builds an Erev, he was telling me, amazing, all the things. He goes around physically, checks the perimeters, checks the things. But he also uses Google Maps, Google Earth, all different satellite images to zoom in. He was even figuring out to tell me how he's able to do it on the computer to count how many lampposts there are. He's able to measure their shadows and figure out, you know, amazing. Satellite technology. You know, figuring out Erevin. It's not just satellite technology to send people to the moon, Harvey.
Judaism.
You think that's why they made NASA? They made NASA for us to have the technology to figure out how to make Erevin. That's how.
NASA or NASA?
Yeah. It's a NASA. You're right. Yes?
While we're in the sky, does the number of people on an airplane, if you're in an airplane path, count towards the number of people in the air?
So the question is, if we're counting people that travel the area, is it only people travel by car, or what about by plane? Or soon-to-be drone? Yes. Yeah, airspace might be its own domain. So hold on on that.
Flying cars are in between.
Yes.
Having air when there's a carpet.
Yes. Excellent, excellent point. So what do you do if you have an area which you want to make an air of in, and there's a carpet in the middle? So if you understand that ahead of time, coming into planning your Erev, the best thing to do would be to build an Erev with that being excluded. In other words, the Karfuf would not be part of your Erev. You'll have Tzuras of Pesach around it, so that'll be outside of it. So your whole Erev begins outside of the Karfuf. The Karfuf would be sectioned out, that is not part of the Erev. Correct. Huh? Ah.
So it would look something that would be.
Now, this brings me, right? The question was asked. Ideally, you're building an Eruv. You have a Karfuf. What do you do? I'm going to go through other Heterim potentially in a few moments. But probably the most L'chachilo way to do it is you design an Eruv where you could build the Erev around the Karfuf, that it will not be part of the Erev. The Erev begins outside of the Karfuf. In other words, let's envision a big circle with the bullseye being a Karfuf. So if you put your mechitzas around the big circle, so in the middle of your Erev is a Karfuf, which would invalidate the entire radius. But if you put two rings. You put a ring on the outer part and a ring around the Karfuf. So your Erev begins outside the Karfuf and around. That would be okay. Here brings up an issue of why this is really a big problem. And anyone who's involved in helping community Erevim know this way too well. The biggest reason for problems with Erevim is a lack of funds and a respect for what's going on. I think this is a poshut second step from the lack of knowledge about Erevin. People know, no basics. Yeah, every community has to have an Erev. So yeah, we have to support an Erev. People know that to some degree. If you ask the people collecting the money, they'll say they probably don't know it at all. But to some degree, people know that. But if you don't understand what's going on with an Erev and all the complications, okay, come on, how much money does it cost to put up the strings?
It's another Jewish
right?
Tax.
People don't understand the costs and what really goes into running a kosher Erev. You have to set things up, things break over time, it has to be fixed, people have to check it every week. But here's the thing, in the real design of an Erev, most of the time, what happens is communities don't have the funds to set up an Erev in the most l'chachila way. Exactly like you asked. If you're building an Erev, ideally, should you build it in a way the best possible way? For sure. I saw someone complain. You know, it's so funny. You know, people hawk and hawk. We have mashkichim here, right? When it comes to food, they're going to be machmer. They're going to ask 1,000 questions. You know? Erevim, you know, Baruch Hashem, there are people that ask. We have vacationers that come by. It's common here in Yeshiva. People ask, you know, is there an Erev over here? What about here? What about there? This side of the canal, other side of the canal. Good. It's important people ask. But they're definitely not as advanced in their knowledge of Erevin as they are with Kashrus. And it's not something that bothers the public. Ooh, did I get this L'chachila or not? But really, if there was more funds, the Erevin would be able to be designed in a way where Karfus wouldn't be a problem. Now, you're right. In some areas, it's just so many of them. Boca, I don't know. Some spots. Yeah, it might be so prohibitive, even if people got much more interested in the Erevin. But, okay. But if you're asking for the ideals is to take into account all the karfufs and see if you can go around it. That can't be done. There are heterim out there, but I must say they're not pashut. And that's why, really, your idea is the best. Really, when you're building an Erev, you gotta know all the things involved and, you know, not to come to a situation, which communities have, that they only realize later that there's a karfuf in there and nothing was done to rectify it and they had real problems.
A couple things. One, does it matter if you enclose the karfuf before you build the rest of the Erev, or can it be afterwards?
Meaning,
if you build the entire Erev around the neighborhood and then build something around the karfuf, or does it have to be the karfuf first and then...
Excellent question. The way it works is if you built this Erev around the karfuf, then the Erev is pasul, period. What you'd have to do is break your Erev and redo your Erev. Doesn't necessarily mean you break every part, but one significant area would have to be undone. Fix the karfuf, put an Erev, start the Erev around it, and then do your outer walls again.
So
connect your outer walls.
I guess the follow-up would also be things like whether you have a... if you have an existing Erev and then they build a golf course or then they add something...
Right.
So
right.
A lot of golf courses also, they usually have some kind of a fence around them, but if it's only put in after the Erev, so does that ruin the Erev?
So
do
golf
you
courses... Yeah, I tried looking into all different areas. You know, I should have thought of talking about golf courses because here in Florida comes up a lot. Though I see a trend now. It looks like they're selling golf courses to build luxury condominiums. We need the space. All the New Yorkers coming, you know.
That's because golf is not as popular as it used to be.
Oh, that also, okay. Too bad for Tiger. Now, potential heterim that there are for karfufs. So the Rush himself, one of the Rishonim, as well as in Achron the Devar Shmuel, both give heterim. The Devar Shmuel, at face value, writes his heter, something to the degree, it's a little tricky what he means. I found one of the, someone say for today tried to explain the really Devar Shmuel means like the Rush, but talks about an idea. Well, you know, if they built the city with that in the middle, that means they want that there. It's not something, not dead space. There's something to that area over there.
Like
they want the marshland, the ponds, the this and that.
Green space.
Green space, right. Right, we need green space. Right. So, Manila, that becomes part of the city. There is such a shita like that. Though, if you look in the middle of your page, I brought the Ber Halacha. The Ber Halacha quotes this Devar Shmuel as a potential heter. He does sign off, I cut off the bottom, but he does sign off, Aval Ein Lahater El B'Shas Pachak. You should only rely on such an idea only if you're really stuck. Now, yeah, that might be if you figured out your Erev and it was built, and this is this, you notice such a thing, yeah, maybe you could rely on such a thing. But l'chadchila is not called, when you're building an Erev, not sure that shas l'chak, unless you have no money, you constantly, you really need to be build this Erev for the community. But these are all, you know, very pressing, important shilas should be asked to a very competent Rav, not so simple. You know, in general, I saw Rav Moshe didn't buy in that this, Rav Moshe held that this whole heter of the Devar Shmuel didn't think it applied in today's societies. He says maybe in those days, the way they built cities with kings and this, it's okay, they wanted that. But nowadays, that's not necessarily why it's there. It's not a green space. It was uninhibited land that just ended up like this.
Canal, for sure.
Huh?
Canal, for sure. They didn't build a canal.
It's man-made.
Yeah,
but a while back. This canal is man-made.
A while back.
Originally, Florida was all swampland until Mr. Friedrich and his air conditioning business. But
actually, who's Napoleon Bonaparte Broward.
Oh, yeah?
He built all these canals.
Here. Oh, Mr. Broward. I didn't even know that was his name.
He's the governor of the state
Napoleon.
Of Florida.
His name was Napoleon?
That was his name, Napoleon Bonaparte Broward. Broward County is named after him.
That wasn't from us.
They want to change it because he's
a
big sailor.
Someone built a decorative pond or something like that.
So I'm about to talk about that. Hold on.
So how would you even possibly close it up? Meaning, there are different kinds. There are kinds that are below ground that look more natural.
Yes.
And there are the sort of above ground, like you might find in the middle of
right.
the city, where you throw pennies in and waste money.
So,
good luck.
Let me talk about bodies of water for a minute, another potential area of Heterim. Okay, so in general, just to give a general heter to Karfuf is not simple. There exists something out there in the Rosh and Dvar Shmuel, which the Berelacha does bring, but that's only, you know, in case of fire, Shas L'chak, to rely on such a thing. Now, within bodies of water, there is more potential to find heter. The Gemara in Erevin, which is quoted on top of your sheets, talks about that just like in, you know, when we talk about a karfuf, let's talk in terms of a swamp or a grassy spot, we're talking about something that's not cared for. You have high grass, no one's going to walk in it, swampy, disgusting land, but a nice, you know, tree-lined, grassy area, park, that's not considered a karfuf, because that is inhabited. People go there, people spend time there. Similarly, right? Similarly, the Gemara says, "Amalul Rav Acha, the Rav Berei the Rav Misharshia, Achi Amar Mishmei the Rava, Mayim Kinetim Dami Vashari." Water could be like planted trees, flowers, and permitted. Amar Meimar Vuhu Dechazi LeTashmishin. Water works, provided that it has a usage. But if it doesn't have a usage, then the water doesn't work. Okay. What does it mean, water having a usage? So the way Rashi learns, one simple thing, is it drinkable? If you could drink the water, then that body of water is considered part of the city, part of the dwelling. Right? Now, okay, maybe in Poland Springs in Maine, you know, or what's our place here in Florida?
Zephyr Hills.
There
are no hills.
Right? So maybe these bodies of water we get our drinking water from, that would count. But definitely swampy areas, not that wouldn't work. Except there is a Rashba. The Rashba in Avodas HaKodesh writes, Shafilum Einam Ruli Mishtia, Rakla Tashmishim Acherim. The example the Rashba gives is washing. For those who know, I actually saw one from my grandmother back in the day. In the old days, they didn't have washing machines. So they used to wash things by the river on these boards. So that is a usage of the water. That would be okay. Both the Chavetz Chaim and the Shaar Tzion and the Chazon Ish both bring this Rashba la'alacha. So that does mean we could be mekel. It doesn't have to be drinkable water. It even is water that there is a usage. Now, what counts as a usage? Can I go row your boat, jet skiing, down the stream, down the canal? Is that a usage? If it's a place where, okay, you wash, you swim, people go swimming there, a beach, yeah, that would work. But what about, you know, like, I'm passing in a boat. I don't think people go swimming in the canal. Nope.
So I get eaten by alligators.
Right? But you do have people going on boats. Jet skiing you sometimes find in the canal. Does that work? So I found, if you look in the bottom of your sheets, in Shalosh Tshuvos V'Dibarta Bam, by Rav Baruch Moskowitz, so there he talks about the idea of jet skiing and water skiing And he is quite negative. You never have fun jet skiing, I don't know. But he's quite negative about them being utilized. The way he understands it is Pashup Shad has to be a Tashmish Kavua. It has to be a set thing that's done all the time. Right? You don't necessarily see people constantly jet skiing there. Okay, maybe a body of water which does have a constant flow of people, you know, on the water. Yeah, that would be okay.
But as long as it's not 600,000 people.
And he asked the Shiloh to Reb David Feinstein, and Reb David supposedly said that, yeah, it's totally on the usage, are people using it constantly, not using it constantly, if they're not using it constantly, yeah, it's not simple for that to undo the status of a Karfuf. However, I found Reb Moshe Feinstein quoted by Rabbi Francis in his wonderful Sefer, The Laws of Erevin. And I actually called him up last night while I was by the airport to discuss it with him. So there, he writes that he heard from Rav Heinemann that Rav Moshe would permit, sounded like he was asking a case like in Chicago. Let's say you have, you know, a body of water which during the summertime is widely used. In the wintertime, ain't nobody going out, you know, the winds from the, you know, Lake Michigan are quite brutal. No one's playing in the water, you know, in the wintertime. But in the summertime, they are. Zakter of Moshe, that doesn't have a din of a karfuf. That's called using it. Even in the wintertime, has one din. So there, my friends were saying, maybe there it was only because it's cold, but the etzim, if not for the cold, people would. But that's cold usage. And in general, a pond in a park is considered part of the park. It's there to beautify it. It's part of a park. That's considered the dwelling place. It's not considered uninhibited. People would argue, perhaps even our canal, where there's a whole path alongside the canal, people jog there, people spend time there. That's also a park. And it could be, you could even maybe consider our canal, that itself is a usable place with that. Very interesting. You know, all these things are very subject to how you understand what it means a karfuf. Is it uninhibited, or does the water sports you have there, or the usage within a park, does that make it out of the realm of a karfuf or not? I'll just end with one other case, which I thought was very interesting. What about a cemetery in the middle of the city? Now, I'm sorry to say, but a cemetery pashta sounds like dead space, right? There's nobody living there, and thus, that would be a problem, especially if a big cemetery. It could definitely be a big society. It could be an area.
People go there.
Oh, people go there. But it has to be a constant flow. Rav Moshe said cemetery would be a problem with karfuf.
What if it's only used every 4 years?
Rav Yoshev said, though, a cemetery would not be a karfuf.
Does it matter if it's used?
Is that a contradiction? So I saw somebody wanted to argue it's not a contradiction whatsoever. Rav Moshe is talking in an American cemetery, which at best you have people go there every so often, once a year, to visit the grave. So yeah, that's uninhibited. In Eretz Yisrael, people are constantly going to Kivrei Tzadikim and being mispalo. That's not uninhibited. That's used. So it depends on the mitzias. The same thing, a cemetery. Well, which cemetery? Is it used? Is it not used? Right, right. So you really need to know the nature of your canal, the nature of these lands, and you know, Be'ezus Hashem, you know, we should walk away from today appreciating the complexities of what it means to build an Erev, of all the people involved in building an Erev, how such an essential thing it is for the community. It's more than just running some fish wire and poles in the community. It's a big deal. And obviously, all Erevin definitely need our support. Thank you very much for listening. Be'ez Hashem, there will be a shiur next week. And looking forward. Be'ez Hashem, there will be a shiur next week.